In my visits to Space Camp, I've met Charles Bolden, the NASA administrator, and had a nice conversation, not this fleeting shake your hand and nod in a photo, but actually conversations around education and STEM education and jobs of the future. So Emily is going to meet up with all different NASA astronauts, different people who have different jobs. But what Emily's announcement to be our ambassador for One Giant Leap was delivered by an astronaut on stage at her school. So she talks about she hasn't done much yet, but I think shaking hands and standing on stage with an astronaut was pretty amazing start to her ambassadorship.
An astronaut at your own school, now that certainly isn't something that happens every day. In this episode, we find out exactly how that came about as we speak with Jackie and Emily from One Giant Leap. Listen on in.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. I'm really excited this week, and let's be honest, I'm always excited every week without our interviews. But this one in particular, I'm speaking with my good friend Jackie Slavero, longtime friend Jackie, who works a lot in STEM education in primary schools right across New South Wales, but has been particularly involved with One Giant Leap Australia Foundation. And One Giant Leap actually brings kids and teachers over to the US to Huntsville, Alabama, to participate in Space Camp at the US Space and Rocket Center. And not only do we get to find out what actually happens at Space Camp, we also get to hear from Emily Rosenk, a 15-year-old student out of northwestern Sydney who is preparing to go over there. You see, Emily is actually the student ambassador for One Giant Leap Australia, and you better believe she's excited. I mean, she's getting prepared to go overseas to learn how astronauts actually train and use the equipment that they train on in the first place. I mean, how awesome is that? You see, this interview isn't just about what happens to students at Space Camp. What it really is about what happens to their mindset, what happens to their belief in themselves, and what happens when you give them the opportunities to excel in an area they're genuinely interested in. And you can tell that Emily not only is excited about going to Space Camp, she is genuinely really engaged with her school, and that enthusiasm is going to shine off onto others. And I can tell you what, giving kids the opportunity to do something like this is unreal, not only for them, but for their peers and for the school as a whole. So I really hope you enjoyed this interview. I certainly did. Let's get on into it.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Jackie, Emily, welcome to the Physics Ed Podcast.
Thank you. Hi, Ben. How's it going?
How's it going? After innovation gains with thousands of people coming through? Yeah, fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, we had fun in the drone zone. Don't worry. It was all good fun.
Oh, flat out. Actually, I was looking at the pictures of the drones coming up over the old cauldron for Sydney Olympic Park, and we discovered something, some things up there that we should have been there, but they'll clean them off.
Eventually.
Yeah. It's all right. Hey, you'll hear background noise in this particular interview because we are in the heart of Sydney Olympic Park. So we've got cars going past, we've got an audience on their way to go watch an NRL game. But we've been trying to connect for a while, Jackie and I, and particularly around a friend of ours who's sitting opposite me, Emily. Emily Rosenk, welcome to the Physics Ed Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, Emily, what do you do and how did you meet Jackie and all that type of thing?
Okay, so I didn't actually meet Jackie. I found out about One Giant Leap through my mum. She met Jackie at a presentation.
Yep.
And she decided to tell me over dinner that there were students at her school who had the opportunity to go to Space Camp. And then I wrote an email, and then ever since then, I guess I've been in contact with Bob and Jackie. So.
Yeah, One Giant Leap, you've been heavily involved with doing Space Camp over in Alabama, Huntsville, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so you saw this, you flicked an email, and all of a sudden, now you're doing it.
Yeah, so it happened pretty quickly. Well, it felt like a long time at the time because I was checking my emails, like, twice a day for, like, a month.
Yes.
For ages, yeah.
Well, so what... Your parents met Jackie, and you heard about the presentation, and you heard about what you could do over in the States. Why STEM? Like, you could be doing art, you could be doing PE, you could be doing all sorts of stuff. What's grabbing your eye when it comes to science?
I've had a passion for it since I was little. My dad instilled that in me.
What did he do?
We watched a lot of documentaries, like a lot. So a lot of Cosmos, a lot of stuff with Brian Cox and things like that.
Yep.
Lots of physics books and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I must admit, I do really like when Brian Cox showed dropping a bowling ball and a feather in a vacuum tube. I thought that was a very good representation of gravity, and
yeah.
You could, irrefutable at this point.
Yeah, well, nothing much you can do about that in the classroom, but it's good to watch on watching someone else do it in a vacuum.
It is a little bit tough. Yeah. Actually, I'll give you everyone a link to this. There's something you can do with a piece of paper in a book which sort of does it, but nowhere near the same as sucking air out of your room. But yeah, so documentaries, I mean, I must admit, I grew up, okay, I'm an 80s child. I grew up watching, you know, the world around us, and that was the thing. And you watching Cosmos, that was fantastic. What was your favourite thing you got to see on those documentaries?
Well, my favourite was probably the opening episode of, I think it was the opening one, where it showed the timeline of the worlds and of the Earth and how it came to be. So they condensed the entire of Earth's history into a 365 calendar year, and humans only existed for a couple of minutes in the calendar.
Yeah, what do they call it? They call it like 4 seconds to midnight or something if they do it in a day?
I think
something to that effect?
Yeah, something like that.
It's stunning when you actually look at it. Yeah, we really are just a blink of an eye when it comes down to it. Mm-hmm. So, wind it forward. You hear about Space Camp. You send an email to Space Camp hoping to get involved, and now you're not just going to space camp, you're a bit more involved than that. Tell us more.
Yes, so I've actually won a scholarship, and this scholarship also entails me being the Australian ambassador for One Giant Leap.
Wow, and so yeah. Being an ambassador for a program like this means you get to do stuff, and that usually means you get to meet interesting people. And
yeah.
What have you done so far?
Well, I think today was really the first big event that I was involved in. So I was lucky enough to watch Dr. Carl speak. Very interesting. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
This is like the biggest thing that I've done so far. But I think leading up, getting closer to Space Camp and after Space Camp, I will probably be more heavily involved.
Now, there'll be some people who are listening in on this podcast sort of vaguely got an idea of what Space Camp entails, but describing it's a whole nother level. Like, I know it's pretty full on, but that doesn't mean our listener does. So I'd love you to tell us what actually happens at Space Camp, because you've got this coming up soon.
Yes, so I haven't been yet, but from what I understand, there's a lot of simulations and isn't there missions and things like that?
Yep.
So you get...
It's all about teamwork. So they all get thrown into a mission, and Emily could be the pilot doing the Orion capsule arrival on Mars, and there's hydroponics and there's experiments and a whole pile of different things that can go wrong. So working as a team, and they think they know what they're doing, but they really haven't got a clue. So it's hilarious to watch from a distance, but it also is a lot of really great team building. So it's all of that. There's space history. You live on the site at Space Camp, so there's one of three Saturn V rockets left in the world. And I know last year there were a couple of teachers who laid down on the marble moon under the Saturn V and talked about when they go back to Australia what life was going to be like. And that was at 2 o'clock in the morning because they could. That was in their backyard. So and the people that you meet, like I've met so many people, and Emily's going to be the same. You just don't know who you're going to meet. So in my visits to Space Camp, I've met Charles Bolden, the NASA administrator, and had a nice conversation, not this fleeting shake your hand and nod in a photo, but actually conversations around education and STEM education and jobs of the future. So Emily is going to meet up with all different NASA astronauts, different people who have different jobs. But what Emily's announcement to be our ambassador for One Giant Leap was delivered by an astronaut on stage at her school. So she talks about she hasn't done much yet, but I think shaking hands and standing on stage with an astronaut was pretty amazing start to her ambassadorship.
I saw the video. It looked a bit overwhelming even.
It was. I didn't know what to think. I do regret not asking more questions. I do hope I get the opportunity to. But, you know, when you meet someone like that, you kind of bit starstruck kind of thing. Yeah, so.
No, I get that. And the coolest thing about it is that they're highly talented people.
Mm.
But they're still very down to earth and normal. In fact, to work in a team environment that Jackie was talking about,
you've
got to be.
Yeah, they're so down to earth. One of the nicest people I've met.
No room for ego at all. And I was actually listening to what you were saying about when things go wrong. I mean, to be able to handle when things go wrong, or literally courage under fire, when literally your spacecraft could well be on fire, means that you've got to really have a level head. I mean, do you get to do that sort of thinking under pressure much at school?
Not particularly, no. The furthest I've really gotten with this is probably engineering at school, where we did the term is high level coding.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was just like basic problem solving. We didn't really run into many problems. It was basically just trial and error. Nothing too major went wrong.
And I suppose that's why these enrichment activities, these abilities to be able to go into something in a whole new environment in a whole new country, but then be put under pressure a little bit to perform will be really, really beneficial.
Especially jet lagged.
Yeah, good point. Are you literally landing and you go to space camp the next day or something?
No, I think we're travelling around a little bit.
So
going to the California Science Centre.
Yeah, we build multi-story roller coasters and talk about the physics of that.
That's cool.
And visit the Endeavour. And then Emily will understand the astronaut that she met actually flew on the last Endeavour mission.
Yeah, wow.
So she'll have this emotional attachment then, realising that she's met the astronaut who flew on that last mission, and then see the space shuttle that he actually flew in, and then that whole continuum of her learning will happen around that.
Yeah.
And we also go to Northrop Grumman, but we're not allowed to take photos of
no,
what we
not.
See. But we are allowed to go in there, but it's secret squirrel business. And the sad thing was last year, we missed the James Webb Telescope by a day.
Oh.
So that was okay because we see other amazing things anyway. So we spend a few days in LA to acclimatise, and then we fly into space camp, and then it's full on.
Full on. How long does space camp go for?
5 days,
Five nights, six days.
Okay.
Well, is there any chance to then head over, have a further east to see the potential of an opportunity to see any launches or anything like that, or are we really pushing it to be able to fit in such a tight window?
I think school holidays, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm very particular too about organising that it doesn't impact on anyone else's programs, because just because this one is very special to me, there are other special programs going on in schools that we shouldn't impact on because we want to extend further. People have spent their holidays or half a year waiting, and then if half their kids aren't there because they're all off on a space camp trip, I don't think that's too respectful. So I try to make sure that they stays in the holiday time, be respectful of other people's programs.
That makes sense. And actually, how many schools have been involved in this so far, do you know?
It's more than 350 students and their parents and teachers in the last 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. And this is only going to grow as the opportunities there.
Yes.
And especially as someone as an ambassador for this, I mean, what? Obviously, apart from going over there, I mean, your job is to really tell people about it. I mean, have you had much of a chance to do that yet?
I guess a little bit. More people who I know, who my mum knows, people through Jackie and Bob, through my Facebook page.
Yep.
And that's about it. I haven't really had any leadership opportunities.
Today.
And it'll keep coming.
Well,
and
there's an opportunity coming up at the Powerhouse Museum on the 21st of September.
Yeah.
And so if people are interested, there's the Australian Astronaut Stories series that we're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that Emily will be at and be able to talk to people about it if they're interested.
So obviously STEM's your thing, I totally get it. Funnily enough, it's mine as well. So, I mean, it's only a couple of years away before you leave school. I mean, what are your hopes to do next?
I don't know. Something in STEM would be ideal, but if I change and go down a completely different path, I wouldn't mind, but having this experience would mean a lot, I guess. Yeah, but I don't... Hopefully Space Camp will help me, I guess, fine-tune and pick which particular way to go. And I suppose that is the aim of Space Camp, for kids who have an interest in STEM to help them find which way they want to go, like a direct path.
But just if your classmates are jealous.
They are. I think so. Just a little bit.
Are any of your teachers jealous?
Oh, yes. Plenty of them.
Did any of your teachers know about Space Camp before you did this?
I don't think so. I know that they've become a bit more involved through the connection that Jackie's made at school. Recently, I think a couple of my teachers went to like a drone thing with Casa on Giant Leap, so they did that. And we're, I think our school is also now going to be involved in the Powerhouse Museum STEM Day as well.
Fantastic. We should actually give a plug out to your school. What's your school?
St. Mark's Catholic College.
Fantastic. And that's whereabouts is that at?
Kellyville Ridge, or Stanhope Gardens, actually.
Oh, there you go. It's actually not that far away from our workers, to be honest. No, that's cool. So obviously your teachers are getting involved and your classmates are jealous, which is, yeah, that's a win for a start. I must admit, that's a good thing. So, I mean, is this like, I asked a little bit about you going after school, where you might go next.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine yourself working in the space industry?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a passion of mine. Obviously, I would love to get to space, to be an astronaut, but hopefully by the time, like, I'm... let's just say 70, they'll have commercial space flights and space travel, things like that.
Well, having spoken with Jackie for many years about the various astronauts she's met, a lot of them have had a very interesting path to get there. They're not all necessarily pilots, they're not all necessarily geologists, they've all got very specific roles, and who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows where it could be next?
Yeah.
All right, so if you had to give some advice to some people who want to get involved in space camp, or even just get involved more in their school in STEM or whatever, I mean, what would you suggest?
Well, first of all, talk to your engineering teachers or your science teachers and your maths teachers, anyone who has anything to do with STEM. And of course you can jump onto the One Giant Leap website and just go from there, really.
I'm going to have to ask you, what's your favourite science experiment? If you think back of all the different ones that you've got to do, what's your favourite?
Well, I do like food. We melted chocolate once.
Cool, what did you do? Chocolate. Why did you melt chocolate, though? There's a few different reasons you can do this.
Well, we were looking at, you know, the melting point of chocolate, things like that.
White versus dark?
Yeah, I think so, something like
that. Well, do you remember the answer? I'm just curious now.
No, I don't, because it was such
a long
time ago.
Okay, there's some homework for listeners. Okay, go melt some chocolate. What I was wondering, because of the link with the speed, with what we're doing with space, I was wondering whether you're doing the speed of light. There's an experiment you can do.
Well, we did cover that, I think, last semester, but it was very brief. I do wish we did more of like a in-depth thing. It was very self-directed, so it was kind of like a checklist of all the topics that we had to do. So probably if I had to cover the topic again next year, which I probably will in physics and chemistry, I will... would love to do like a depth study.
Just linking it together. So there's a classic experiment you guys can do. So first rule, you're not allowed to blow anything up or make fire. However, with well supervision, you can take the turntable out of your microwave, get a plate, put some chocolate on it, though I usually use cheese on toast, it seems to work pretty well, and just turn your microwave on until you get melt spots. Then measure the distance between the melt spots, then plug it into a calculation, you can work out the speed of light. And you usually get fairly close.
Oh, cool.
But mind you, melting out the chocolate's pretty cool too. And you get to eat it.
Yeah. Which
is... Well, my favourite experiment was when I made an alien toothpaste on the space station, but you might get to do that while we're in space camp. So
that's cool.
I don't know if you want to say any more then, do you? That's really cool. Look, well done. And I think that your role going as a space camp ambassador is unreal. And to be honest, it's only going to start off other things, which is fantastic. And look, I'm really happy you have to take time away, especially at the end of such a large, busy day at the Innovation Games. I mean, it's been full on. Your booth has been flat out with One Giant Leap, and it's been a fantastic day for all. But I know that it's also, you need some rest too.
Yeah.
It has been a full on day. I don't know how many thousands of people we've seen, but congratulations to the Innovation Games organisers. It has been a fantastic event, and I highly recommend any teachers out there who should try and drop in next year, mark it on the calendar. And also too with Emily, there are kids like Emily all over the country, and I feel really, really honoured to have Emily as our ambassador, because Emily is one of those students that flies low under the radar, and I'm always on the search for students who I know that it's going to make such a difference in their lives to take them on this journey. So Emily being our first ambassador is wonderful, and it's only the beginning of a great network of leaders that we're building in Australia around the space camp components of what we do.
Absolutely, and just going from that, I mean, there are a lot of people you can connect your students with. I mean, if you feel uncomfortable at your students reaching out to places, and I totally understand that, we've got to look after them. You can do that on your behalf too. So if you're wondering who to contact, I mean, geez, even just look at the podcast role on Physics Ed. There's a number of museum types you can get in touch with, but not necessarily just museums. There's a number of awesome schools who are doing some wicked stuff that you can definitely get in touch with, and not just within Australia, we're talking globally. But look, much appreciated. Thanks very much for your time, and I'll put all those links, your Facebook group, the link to One Giant Leap, CASA, and all the rest, and especially the space camp at Huntsville, Alabama. I know that's going to be awesome. Have a fantastic afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ben.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech, and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
And there you go. That is Emily Rozenek and Jackie Slaviero for One Giant Leap. And aren't they going to have a One Giant Leap by going over to Alabama and over to Huntsville to find out everything that can happen at a space camp? Now, I know Jackie certainly has done this plenty of times, but Emily's got her first one coming up. And how awesome is it going to be for her to stand, well, right next to a fully formed Saturn V rocket? That is wicked. And then learning about everything astronauts have to do when it comes to their training, and then meeting more astronauts potentially as well. That is awesome. So no doubt you'll have some takeaways from this interview, and I certainly do. So I want to just go through a couple of things I took away. And if you've got any more, I'd love you to hear, you know, send some information to us as well. But first up, enrichment helps students refine and define their future. Now, generally so. The more opportunities you give them to see the world for what it actually is outside of the school buildings is critically important. Now, not everyone has the opportunity to go overseas to somewhere like space camp. I mean, that is such an awesome opportunity. But what sort of enrichment can you be giving your kids in your local community? And so it's certainly worth checking out, because kids certainly really love it, and it helps them sort of form in their own head what could they be doing in their future. Number two, is there an opportunity to create student ambassadors in your school or in your museum or wherever you might be teaching? Student ambassadors give you really an opportunity for leadership. How can they represent your organization or school and, you know, really start to shine in media and in events? I mean, that particular recording was done at the Innovation Games, which, by the way, is a previous episode just last week that you might want to check out, with lots of stuff happening down at Sydney Olympic Park. Emily was there to represent One Giant Leap Australia, and that certainly did a very good job with that. How can you be creating leadership opportunities for your own students? And number three, kids thrive on problem solving, and that certainly is the case with any student, regardless of what age they are or their abilities. The ability to get their hands on materials that represent what the world really is like is so critical to their development, and it's really, really shines for me as something that Emily really loves, and I no doubt your students will as well. So there you go, that's my three learnings. I'd love to know what you've got in mind too.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Love your science? We do too. Here's this episode's education tip of the week. Grab your pencil and get ready to make some notes.
Yes, it's time for another Ed Tip of the Week, and this one is really one of my favourite things to do with kids. I love going down to the local gift shop and getting the worst possible science model I can possibly find and putting it in front of kids and go, you know what? I want you to work out what's wrong with it. Seriously, do it. Go down to the gift shop and go see if you can find yourself the worst possible solar system model, especially seeing we just talked with One Giant Leap. I'd love that if you do that. So here you go. There's a bit of homework. Go and get yourself the worst solar system model you can find and get your students to pull it apart. Get them to critique it to its nth degree, and you'd be surprised how engaged this actually is. In fact, we did this a few years ago for a full-day astronomy workshop, and the kids just went to town on this little model I'd spent $30 on. In fact, to the point of where I had to stop them after 45 minutes because I was going to run out of time for the rest of the experiments. So here's the thing. Try and find the worst you can. Don't worry about the colors. Don't worry about the shapes, the sizes, everything. The worst it is, the better. In fact, my model was terrible. It had, well, the sun's size was completely out with the planets, and that's quite normal with most models anyway. But the distances between each planet were terrible, but there was no moons, there was no asteroid belt or any evidence of any comets whatsoever. There were no sunspots or solar flares on the sun. Mercury was completely smooth. Venus, actually, they had it as a green ball instead of like a yellowish sort of a color. Earth had no continents. There was no moons. Mars had no northern polar cap. There were just so many things wrong. I mean, even Saturn had no rings. Terrible. But tell you what, as a teaching tool, having a terrible science model is so useful to finding out what your kids genuinely know. So there you go. There's something I want you to try this week. Find the worst model you can. And it doesn't have to be a solar system model. It could be a plant model or whatever it is that you're teaching. Find the worst you can and see what your students know. Go for it.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
Yeah, I know we want to teach with the best stuff as possible. I really do get that. But just occasionally, it's worth getting a worst thing you possibly can. I mean, even as a science outreach operator, we really want to show the best stuff. But every now and then, we'll put in the worst stuff just to be able to get kids to critically think. And that is really the point when it comes to doing education, especially STEM education. So really, just, you know, try it out. And if you want to read a bit more, jump on our website, jump on our blog, type in model into the search box, and you'll find that full article about what we did with that solar system model. Check out the picture, it's terrible, but it's so good too. Anyway, hey, this interview that you listened to was recorded at the Innovation Games. That was a major STEM festival at National Science Week only a couple of weeks ago in Australia, in the heart of Sydney. And when you go check out last week's episode, it's certainly you will hear that there are lots of different people doing lots of cool stuff when it comes to STEM education. In fact, one of the ones that really stood out for me was Kelly Simpson. Now, Kelly Simpson is a PhD candidate at University of Sydney. She is studying epidemiology. However, she did a presentation on the mathematics of a zombie invasion and what to do about it. Hey, check it out.
Well, I personally think zombies are really fascinating, but I think they're a great way to explain disease and disease transmission.
Yep.
With a really fun way. So I'm an epidemiologist, yep. So I look at disease in the population, and I think zombie virus is much more exciting than the diseases I work on.
It'll certainly grab people's attention without a doubt.
Yep.
No worries. So what are you going to be talking about when it comes to epidemiology with the public?
So I'm going to be talking about why maths is probably a better way to solve a zombie outbreak than guns and violence. So if we can put the clues together, if we can work out where the zombies are coming from, when the zombie virus started, that's a better way to stop a zombie outbreak than just shooting a whole bunch of zombies.
So your job is to stop World War Z?
Pretty much.
I got it. Fantastic.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
Yes, Kelly did a fantastic job grabbing everyone's attention at the Innovation Games with her science and her mathematics of epidemiology, especially relating to zombies. I mean, that's going to grab anyone's attention, let's admit. Hey, speaking of grabbing people's attention, next week we are talking with two alumni, or is it alumni? I'm never really quite sure, but we'll call them an alumni for now. Anyway, we are talking with two alumni from the National Youth Science Forum. Now, the National Youth Science Forum has been around for quite a while. They are supported by Rotary, and their job is to get Year 12 students really involved in science by bringing them all together from across Australia into one location to learn about not only the opportunities in science, but to meet the scientists themselves to accelerate their understanding about what it's like to work in the scientific community and to visit scientific institutions. And I must say, hearing what's happened to these two alumni now they've finished their association with the National Youth Science Forum in terms of actually going to that Year 12 camp, these people have actually gone through university studies and now they're placed as scientists and managers in major organizations. And it certainly was very interesting to find out what is the impact of the National Youth Science Forum. And believe me, it's quite strong and broad. It's really worth your time. So definitely check out next week's episode. And as always, make your science lessons be awesome. Please make them fun, informative, and grab your students' imagination as much as possible. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education. And of course, you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Bye for now.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.